It's Wednesday morning and it's the 30th of the month of April. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah. And it's long weekends in a row. Yeah. And perhaps you listening to Radio Pulpit not having a lovely tucked in sleep in if it's the school holidays with the children or wherever you may be, perhaps working right throughout the night. Perhaps just leaving your work situation and on your way back home to have a good rest after you had the privilege of serving right throughout the night whilst others were sleeping. Whatever it may be, good morning. And may the Lord God Almighty just bless you and keep you. I want to continue where I stopped in Afrikaans yesterday about the Beatitudes. And I want to call it the Constitution of God's Kingdom, as recorded in Matthew chapter 5 in the New Testament. We know it as the Sermon of the Mount. And perhaps just before I start, I want to say this, that the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, as it was one single sermon preached by Jesus on one single occasion, but it's far more than that. There are very good reasons for thinking that the Sermon on the Mount is far more than one sermon. In fact, it's a kind of epitome, or what shall I say? It's a kind of togetherness of all the sermons that Jesus ever preached. And if you read it, it can exhaust you in the end, the Sermon of the Mount. But let's dive in. The Beatitudes, the Constitution of God's Kingdom. Now, firstly, I want to read parts of it to you. Blessed is the man. And remember, when it says the man, it means mankind, man and woman. Blessed is the man who has realized his own utter helplessness and who has put his whole trust in God. If a man has realized his own utter helplessness and has put his whole trust in God, there will enter into his life the grace, the love, the mercy, the kindness of God. I want to read to you a translation of Matthew chapter 5. May I? I want to read to you first what the Bible says as we know it, and then a translation thereof from the original text. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And the translation could be, those who realize their own utter helplessness, those who have put their whole trust in God, for those alone can give themselves to God, that perfect obedience which will make them citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So when you poor in spirit, it's not spirit with a capital letter like the Holy Spirit. It's poor in your own spirit. It's realizing your own utter helplessness and putting your whole trust not in someone else, not in yourself, not in something or situations, but putting your whole trust in God and rendering to God perfect obedience. And that will make you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, by his grace. Verse 4 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who mourn, M-O-U-R-N, not mourning, mourn, cry. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Oh, this means directly from the original text. It's not that you are blessed when you are poor, when you don't have any money, or when you don't have any food, or that kind of poorness. It means when it says, blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Those whose hearts are broken for the world's suffering and for their own sin. For out of their sorrow they will find the joy of God. You've got that. It's very different from that we traditionally so many a times think that the poor and the poorest of the poor people are the people that Jesus refers to here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, when he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And so sorrowfully we use, or rather misuse, out of context, this text so many a times when someone have lost someone and are mourning the death of someone, that they will be comforted by Jesus. This is not the context for that meaning. There are many other texts in the New Testament that you can use for that. But this, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It means those whose hearts are broken for the world's suffering. If you have a broken heart for the suffering of the world, for the suffering, to give it a context, for the suffering of the poorest of the poor, yes. And those who are going through suffering because of wars, say for instance, the war in Ukraine, the war in Palestine, the war in the Congo, the war wherever, and whatever the suffering may be, when your heart as God's child is broken up for the world's suffering. And on the other hand, when you mourn your own sin, when your heart is broken and you realize your own brokenness because of sin, your sorrow will find joy in God ultimately. And that is the comfort. Verse 5 of Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What does it mean? The meek are the people who are always angry at the right time for the right situation, where God's will is not performed. Those who are always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time, who have every instinct, impulse, and passion under control, because they themselves are God-controlled, who have the humility to realize their own ignorance and their own weakness. For such people, only such people can rule the world. Oh, what a word from Jesus. And this is a word we can give to the leaders, to the presidents and the prime ministers and the ministers and cabinet and the members of parliament and mayors and whoever are in a calling and leadership role right throughout the world. Jesus said in the Constitution of the Kingdom of God, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meaning, those people who are always angry at the right time for the right reasons, and that means when God's will is not performed, and where righteousness is not shown, who are angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. That's meekness. And meekness in the Greek text means those people who have every instinct in their life, every impulse, every passion under control, because they themselves are God controlled. Because when God controls you, you have every instinct, every impulse, and every passion under God's control, not anymore under your own control. Then you have the humility to realize your own ignorance, your own weakness. And it is these people, who can indeed rule the world, said Jesus. Verse 6 of Matthew chapter 5 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What does it mean? It means that blessed are those who long for total righteousness as the starving long for food. As people who are hungry and starving for food have a longing. And you will know what that is. When you are so hungry that you are starving for food. And on the other hand, when you are so thirsty for water. Blessed are those who long for the righteousness of God. Like when you are starving for food and thirsting for water. Because you will truly be satisfied by God. If you have that type of longing for righteousness, God's righteousness, as the Bible says, and this is Jesus' words, you will be satisfied for righteousness. But you must have that long starving for food type of longing for true total righteousness. And that long thirst for water. Verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." What does mercy mean? It says, blessed are those who can get right inside other people until they can see with their own eyes, think with their thoughts, and feel with their feelings. For those who do that will find others do the same for them and will know that that is what God in Jesus Christ has done for him. Oh, this is so profound. Blessed are the merciful because they will receive mercy, said Jesus. Now, we don't understand this word that is translated in English for mercy. Huh? But the real meaning literally for this is blessed, utterly happy are those people who can get inside other people's minds, so to speak, until you see with their eyes, until you think with their thoughts what they are thinking, until you feel their feelings. For those who will find others to do the same for them. You see what mercy means. It's I don't even have the words to explain this concept that Jesus is bringing to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. Neither have I the comprehension in my own life and you to comprehend what Jesus is saying. But just to try to say and explain what mercy means is that if I could get inside the head of another person and see through their eyes, think through their thoughts, and feel through their feeling, I will find that when I start to do that to other people, they will start to do the same for me. And then I will start to comprehend something of what God has done through Jesus Christ's mercy for me. Verse 8 says of Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Huh? The pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those whose motives are absolutely pure. For someday, they will be able to see God. If your motives are absolutely pure, and your motives can absolutely be pure only when you have the mercy of God. Only, as verse 7 says, if you have received the mercy. Only if you thirst and hunger for righteousness. Only if you are meek. Only if you mourn your own helplessness. Huh? When you are poor in spirit, as I said, as Jesus said. When you put your whole trust in God, render to God that perfect obedience by the grace of Jesus, and being a citizen of the kingdom of God, the constitution of the kingdom of God will be yours. Amen. And then, ultimately, you will see God. Because those whose motives are absolutely pure, they alone will someday be able to see God. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. That means, blessed are those who produce right relationships with one another, for they are doing God-like work. Oh, and I only think of the leaders of the world. Forget about the presidents and the kings and the prime ministers of the world. Think of myself. If I produce right relationships with other people, then I'm blessed. How's your relationships with others? Blessed are those who produce the right godly relationships. In the context of Matthew chapter 5, the constitution of the kingdom of God, I call it. When I start by the power of the Holy Spirit to comprehend the depth of this meaning of the Sermon on the Mount, then I will do God-like work. What about you or me? Verse 10 to 12 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Meaning, when people prosecute you for God's sake, and utter all kinds of evil things falsely on your account, rejoice, be glad, for your reward is not on earth, but in heaven, and it's great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, they will persecute you. Know that. And these were the words that Jesus taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, here I am. Forgive me. Forgive me all my sin, my unrighteousness. Wash me in the blood of Christ Jesus, your Son. Give me the power of your resurrection. Lord God, give me the power to be elevated into the presence of you, the Almighty, my Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 21 minutes past the hour of 6 this morning, on the 30th of April, that was Matthew chapter 5, trying to explain something of the blessings of God.